start off. My name's Shelley, compulsive eater, food addict. Hi, everyone. Let's start with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, great. Welcome, everyone. Just a couple of things. We have handouts that are out at the door. If you need one, just raise your hands. We have Tamri and Lynette in the back of the room. We'll bring them to you. They're in the back there. Okay, so welcome to Roberta's workshop. And the name of it is CEA HAL Vegetable Workshop. But there's actually a cool name. Okay. Joyfully preparing vegetables and finding recovery. Okay. And I want to introduce Roberta. This is Roberta. She lives here in California, in Santa Ana, close by. She's been in program and abstinent for 3.5 years. She has a 70-pound weight loss, and she sponsors on all levels. And I can tell you, I'm a friend of Roberta, and she is awesome. She does a great program, and I always listen very carefully when she speaks. So here you go. Here's Roberta.
Well, welcome, everybody. Very glad to have you guys here. Very welcome to sit back and relax. We've got an hour and a half. The purpose for this workshop is, if I can move forward on the slides. I'm not worried. I'm going to try this way. There we go. Again, I've already been introduced. Today's agenda is, I want to tell you the reason why I wanted to put this workshop on. I got a lot of questions, and I'll show you what some of the questions are, where I hear from people that are like, Roberta, how do you do your vegetables? And I'm so tired of doing vegetables. And how do you do it? And so I'm really trying to address some of those questions. I did this for the Southern California Intergroup a couple months ago, and I really was just trying to say, as one abstinent CEHAL member, how do I navigate through all the phases of handling CEHAL vegetables? You know, deciding what to buy, going shopping, storing them, cooking them, serving them, and traveling with them. How do you do it abstinently? So that's what I wanted to try to address. I'll give you a little bit of my qualification. I'll give you a message on recovery, and then I'll actually give you the vegetable workshop, so some hopefully good stuff. Oops, a little too fast. Okay, so again, the questions I'm going to try to address today is, I've heard these from people. People say, I eat the same vegetables all the time, and it's really boring. Some people say, I don't like vegetables. Other people say, I don't like all the time it takes to prep vegetables. Some people said, I don't know how to cook vegetables. At the last workshop I did, I had several men come up to me and say, I don't know how to cook, and I go to El Pollo Loco a couple times a day, and I've never, thank you for this, so it's helpful. And also people say, I just want something that's simple and easy and fast. So that's what I'm trying to address in today's workshop. So my qualification is, I want to tell you about what I used to be like, what happened, and what I am like now. And this isn't pictures of me, so if you're just listening, you can't see it. There's me as a little girl. As you can see, a very chubby kid. A lot of hope, though, a lot of hope in those eyes. And but then as I get a little older, my family was very alcoholic. That's my mom. A lot of alcoholism. My mom was married 4 times. My dad was married 3 times. There was sexual abuse in my household. There was a lot of alcoholism and fighting. And as you can see, as I get older, I start, at least to me, I look a little bit more withdrawn. That's me with my mom and my sisters and some of my family. It was me in high school. Very reserved, very shy. But me starting to get to my heaviest. My heaviest weight, I'm 5'6", was about 215 pounds, size 22. And very much wanting to be connected with people. That was my highest weight right there. But just always just eating a lot over it. A couple of things happened in my 30s. That's me, my professional look. I fell in love, certainly. I fell in love with my husband. I lost weight. We got married, I gained weight. So did he, as a matter of fact. There's us in Orange, California. And I think this John at his heaviest. And that's just, I think, 2002, I think it was. And then I went to the gym and started working out some more, and I lost some weight. And I was still drinking, as you could see. And I did fairly well with that, but it didn't take away the, I was compulsively exercising to try to compensate for all that I was eating. But on January 30th, 2007, I walked into a CEHAL meeting. And on January 31st, 2007, that's when I found CEHAL. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with SeeHow, SeeHow is a lot of stuff. It's these seven tools right here. The SeeHow Abstinent Food Plan, 3 meals a day with nothing in between except sugar-free soda, no-calorie beverages, and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called in, and committed so we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. So I keep actually a little journal. I thought I'd share with you my little journal. And it's just a booklet. My friend Karen gave this to me. And what I do is on the left side, I write down what my committed food is, and I put some little boxes here about have I made my outreach calls. I put 4 empty boxes on a blank sheet of paper, and I keep track of did I do a meeting. And then on the right, I do my question and my writing. So I happen to be doing the as-built CESA questions right now, so I'll write my questions down. So when I call my sponsor, and I'll turn to this next day, you can kind of see if I did it. For tomorrow, anyway. For tomorrow, I have my food already written down, but it's blank, right? And my question is blank. So that tomorrow when I get there, I fill it out and I check off the boxes. Have I made my 3 outreach calls, which is another one of the tools down here. Telephone calls, you're required to make 4 calls a day, 1 to your sponsor and 3 to other SeeHow members. Now, when I came in, my sponsor said you have to do all these things. You have to do an abstinent food plan. You follow your food plan. You do a question every day. You practice anonymity. You make 4 calls every day. You do 3 meetings a week. Always have a service position and make sure that you are sponsored. And so I said, that's a lot. And my sponsor said, yes, it is. And I said, 4 calls a day? And he said, you have to make those live. Now, the literature doesn't actually say that, so it's between you and your sponsor, you know, what you do. But for my sponsor said, you have to make in-person connections. So I can't just call and leave a voicemail. I have to reach people. And I said, I might have to call more than 3 people. And he said, yes, that's right. And so I said, all right. And even weighing and measuring. He said, you have to weigh and measure all your food because it's a weighed and measured food program. So I went out and I got a scale. I got a little digital scale. And I got these are measuring cups. They're little foldy measuring cups. You can kind of pop it like that, and it's flat. You could stick it in your back pocket, right? And then pop it open. I'm ready with my half cup measuring cup. And I have a little knapsack. I put this all in a little knapsack, along with whatever my favorite dressing, which has sugar, 5th or lower on the list. I put that in my knapsack along as my tools. This is my little tool knapsack. When we go out, my husband will say, "Do you got your tools?" And I say, "I do." And I stick my little knapsack, which currently has the little phone bridge kerchief on the back of it, and I go into a restaurant and I weigh and measure. Those are the tools that I use every day. So that's what happened. I did this starting January 31st, and every day since then, 3.5 years, that's the program that I have followed, and huge, huge difference in my life. What am I like now? Well, I have finally achieved my goal weight. I'm 5'6". My highest weight was 215 pounds. I now weigh 145. Actually, last Saturday, I was 144.5. And not that anyone's counting. And my highest size was size 22, and last time I bought pants, it was a size 6. So that's kind of cool. But maybe even more specifically, I've maintained a 70-pound weight loss for since I've been abstinent. That's the miracle. Losing weight, I could do. It's how do you stay here? And when I went on maintenance, I was really afraid because they're going to give me more food. I might gain weight. And my poor sponsor has this. Just follow directions. And that's really what the beauty of this program was. I didn't have to make this program. This program said, and actually, to be honest with you, God said to me, Roberta, this is a program for you. Just follow directions. I'm not a general in this army. I am a private. I don't make the policy rules. I follow them. And that's been my serenity. It's not up to me to choose what to do. I just got to follow it. And that's the beauty. I just got to follow directions. I'd rather do that. Again, one day at a time. But even better than the weight loss, and I came in for the weight loss. When I first came into these rooms, I came because I saw you and I wanted what you had. You were beautiful and I wanted what you had. And the camaraderie that you guys had, you were talking to each other, you were hugging each other, and I found that very attractive because all of my life I'd lived very isolated. I was very much, I was acting the way I thought you wanted me to act so that you'd like me, but the truth was I was really afraid that you would reject me. And so when you guys were talking to each other, I'm like, I want that. So that was very attractive. So coming in, I lost the weight, which was what I came for, but I found something better. And the better was that I found the weight of the world is not on my shoulders. It's not up to me to make the world go around. It's not up to me to make you like me. It's not up to me to have to force you to accept me because God accepts me. And I'll tell you more about that in a second. So the weight of the world's no longer on my shoulders, and I have a higher power that's looking after me, and that's what lets me be happy, joyous, and free, which is the theme of the workshop. So all that being said, before I go in to talk about food, oh, please, question from the back. Can you still hear me if I do this? Oh, the gentleman's coming. I think I'm too loud. They need to turn me down. I should say something. Is that better? Is that better? Good. Thank you. Okay, so before I talk about food, now, again, this was when I did the Southern California Intergroup workshop, it was a little bit controversial because in CHOW, as in general, we don't like to talk about food because it could be a trigger. You know, if I talk about food, people could be like, oh, I'm going to go out and want to eat that. So we don't want to distract people, but the truth is, even though it's not about the food, it is about the food. We have to take the tiger out of the cage 3 times a day. How the heck are we going to do that and not get burned? Mixing analogies a little bit. So I want to share with you how food has actually helped me with a message on recovery. So I want to share a message on recovery. So a significant realization I had was before recovery, I would decide ahead of time what I was going to eat. And despite my best intentions to not eat this or to, you know, eat less than that, I would eat compulsively, and I would have no clue why. Why did you do that? Idiot. Stupid. Why did you do that? Okay, I'll try again tomorrow. I'm such a loser. Okay. And the next day, I'd wake up in the morning. Oh, it's a new day. And then I think, do you remember what you ate last night? Oh, all the wind's out of my sails. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe I can try harder today. Yeah, maybe I will. And I would try, and I would fail. But now in recovery, I see that there's a trend, and that trend has actually helped me connect with my higher power better. So I want to share that with you now. So for many years, again, I would plan my eating, and then something would happen, and I would eat, and I would end up eating compulsively, right? Just for those on that are just listening, I'm showing a picture of that. So again, I had no idea why that happened. Yes, I have an allergy. I believe the big book when it says I have an allergy to like alcohol and sugar. And by the way, I do identify as an alcoholic. I consider it a subcategory of food, so it's just all kind of together for me. But so I knew it was the allergy, but what the heck was going on in my head? And so I started to work backwards, okay? So let's start backwards with my drawing. So let's start with the food, okay? So the food was there, and that was giving me something. And I had to ask myself, Roberta, why do you want the food right now? And my immediate reaction usually was, I don't know why, just give me the food. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, I want lunch. Give it to me right now. And I would say, okay, well, if you had the food, what would that give you? Comfort. It would give me comfort. And I would say, okay, well, why do you need comfort? And I'd say, well, I guess I'm feeling anxious. And I would say, well, then why are you feeling anxious, Roberta? Because honestly, I have no clue. And it could be just life. It could be any number of things. It could be I'm scared about, there's some chairs on the side there. It could be I'm scared about I have a brain tumor. It could be I'm, more often than not, my poor sponsor has to listen to me. I'm frightened about work. I'm worried I'm going to fail. Oh, no. So something about life is making me feel anxious. And that is what led me to a fundamental instinct about, am I safe? Am I going to be secure? Now, at that point, I want to just stop for a second and say, I found this in the 12 and 12. So let me turn there. This is the 12 and 12 on page 42 and 43. This is actually one of my favorite parts in our... Yep. Hi, Nikki. I have handouts for you guys. And if you don't have a handout, please put your hand up. And I will explain the handouts as well. Good question. And for those of you listening on your MP3, there are handouts available there as well. So, okay. So this is on page 42 and 43. Let me just quote this section. Step 4 is to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Creation gave us instincts for a purpose. Without them, we wouldn't be complete human beings. If men and women didn't exert themselves to be secure in their persons, made no effort to harvest food or construct shelter, there would be no survival. If they didn't reproduce, the earth wouldn't be populated. If there were no social instinct, if men cared nothing for society, of one another, there would be no society. So these desires for the sex relation, for material and emotional security, and for companionship are perfectly necessary and right and surely God-given. Yet, these instincts, so necessary for our existence, often far exceed their proper functions. Powerfully, blindly, many times subtly, they drive us, dominate us, and insist upon ruling our lives. Our desires for sex, for material and emotional security, and for an important place in society often tyrannize us. When thus out of joint, man's natural desires cause him great trouble, practically all the trouble there is. No human being, however good, is exempt from these troubles. Nearly every serious emotional problem can be seen as a case of misdirected instinct. When that happens, our great natural assets, the instincts, have turned into physical and mental liabilities. So what I saw there was that when my instincts are saying, I have a need, that if I try to meet that need, that's when I get into trouble. And so, again, three basic instincts, social, sex, and security. So what does the big book say about all that? Well, and I'll kind of read this. I needed to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. So let me just give you a couple quick quotes from the big book. Big book page 98 says, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence on other people ahead of dependence on God. Big book page 164, your real reliance is always upon him. Big book page 192. And then, probably the most wonderful thing that I've learned from the program, I've seen this in the AA grapevine lots of times, and I've had people say it to me personally, and I've heard people get up and say it in meetings, is this statement, I came into AA solely for the purpose of sobriety, but it has been through AA that I found God. I feel that is about the most wonderful thing a person can do. And on page 192 it says, I used to thank God for putting AA in my life, and now I thank AA for putting God in my life. So that's what I found in the big book. So why that's important is that, again, I needed to see that I had needs that weren't being met, and I was trying to fix those needs. And just a quick summary, when I would try to fix those needs, I'd try to figure out a fix. I would try to, like, I'll start a diet. I will exercise 3 hours in one day, right? I would try to implement that fix. Then trying to fix the fix I'd implemented, I would fail. There'd be recrimination and stress and anxiety. And it was like, too much, man. I don't want to play anymore. So that helped me understand what the underlying issues were. So on a practical level, how is it that I get out of that? Okay. Step number one is I do those seven tools every day. My sponsor said, do these seven tools every day. It's magic. It's a recipe. I don't know why it works, but it does. I don't know why I'm making four outreach calls every day and getting my butt in a meeting at least three times a week and writing a question. You know, and the questions are not, they're not super hard, you know. Like, I will pick a question. Explain any fierce resolve you ever had, right? I once tried to climb Mount Everest or whatever it is, right? That doesn't have to be super involved, but by doing those seven tools every day, it's really helped. But then, and this is the key part for this workshop, when the food is calling me or calling my friends, I say, well, what do you want the food to give you? And why do you need that? And what are you concerned about if you don't get that, or if you do get that? And figure out what's the basic instinct being threatened, which is like what I read to begin with. So that's the process. So let me kind of walk you through in more detail. So the new approach is, what if I asked God to meet my needs rather than me trying to meet my needs? Now, this is a key point. I try very hard not to tell God what to do. For me, he's not my vending machine. I don't go up to him and put my prayers at the top and say, give me this. Ding! Give it to me. It's not working, and I complain if it doesn't work. What I try to do is say, this is my need. I need to feel loved and secured. I need to know that you are here right now and that you're directing things. Will you please do that? And then I leave it up to him. I leave it up to him. So let me show you, back to my little drawing, how that might work. Okay. So back to my earlier drawing, you've got food calling me because it gives me comfort, because I'm feeling anxious. Why am I anxious? Because life. And what's my basic need? Is it that I want to be safe or want to be secure? But then, rather than me fix it, if I move forward now, I want to go to God and say, God, I need you. I need you right now. And then my question is to my need, are you going to keep me safe? Are you going to look after me? And every time I've ever asked him that, typically I find the result is that God shows up. Eventually, there he is. There's God.
Yeah.
God shows up, and I realize I don't need the food. That's really what I want. It's really God that I want. This is a spiritual program of recovery. It's not about the food, but the food is a great flag to point me in the right direction. Because the truth is, all of my life, I have suppressed all my feelings for so long. I actually don't feel. Like, if you ask me, and I actually hate it when people say, how are you? I hate that question. Because usually I say, fine, right, because I'm lying. And if somebody says, how are you? I literally have to go. It's like, you know, like an old computer, when it turns on, it takes like 2 minutes. It takes me that long to figure out, how am I? Am I happy? Am I sad? Am I afraid? And if I ask myself right now how I am, I'm kind of excited, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to screw up. So I'm anxious, right? But I don't know that. I when I first came into recovery and dealing with feelings, I had to say, feelings? Like, happy or sad? Is there more than happy or sad? I literally had to go to a list of feelings and say, what are other feelings? Because I don't know what they are. So anyway, so all that is a good practice. The food's a great lever to send me to God. So now, this is an interesting slide. I wanted to share with you. This is my conversation with God. Okay, so I get to that point where I say I have a need, and I go to God. So let me walk you through my conversation. So this is what I'd say. I'd say, God, and I'm saying this right now, I need you. And what he says to me is, he said, Roberta, I'm right here. I'm right by your side. I've never left you. And then I say, I need you to love me. Will you please love me? And he says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And then I say, what I really want, will you accept me? Will you please accept me? Please don't reject me. Please don't put me aside. And he says, I accept you exactly as you are. I made you. I made you perfectly. I made you perfectly. And then I say, will you keep me safe? Please keep me safe. And he says, I'm your defender. I'm your shield. I'm your very strong tower you can run to for safety, and I'm more than able to look after you. And then I say, will you get me through this difficult situation, whatever it is I'm faced with? And he says, my shoulders are big enough. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Rely on me. Cling to me, not the food, and I'll see you through. When that happens, I was going to say, when that happens, that's when I can go back to the food, and I can say, you are not what I want. And I say, well, what do you want, Roberta? And I say, I want God. I want God. Judy, was there a question? They are not, but there's an interesting story about it. Let me just address that. When I gave this workshop before, this was just one slide that I just put up, and then I moved on. But during the break, because it was a longer workshop, several people came up afterwards and said, could you put that slide up again? So at the end, I'll put it up and to have that conversation with God. So take what you like and leave the rest. This is a buffet. If you don't like something, leave it behind. But if you take it, feel free to take. Okay, so the result, relief and less anxiety and being able to let go and let God. And the two key benefits is that I get to get through the situation abstinently, and I get a deeper relationship with God because he's the one saying, Roberta, I put you in that situation, so you turn to me. And I go, wow, and you got me out too. So those are the two key benefits. Now, there's an analogy I want to use, and it's an analogy of gas for my car. When I drive my car, there is nothing physically that I feel that my car needs gas, right? I can drive. It feels just the same. Only when it's about to die and it starts to chug. I think that's only happened once. Only once was enough. That's the only indication I have. Other than there's a fuel gauge, and when it's on empty, it says get your butt into the gas station to get gas, okay? So a gas gauge is helpful. I don't feel anything. It just is what it is. Now, that being said, in the same way, when the food calls to me, that's a signal, Roberta, you need gas in your car. I need gas. I don't need gas. I'm fine. You need gas. Well, okay, what do I need? Well, ask. Why do you need the food? I don't know. Just give me the food. It's 9 o'clock in the morning and I want breakfast. Okay, great. That's great. Thanks for sharing, Roberta. Why do you need the food? Because I'm anxious, right? Okay, why are you anxious? And I take it through all those questions. And it's because, again, I have no idea when I start out. And once I find the need, I take that need to God. And I have found that God always meets the need without fail 100% of the time. And then I can say to the food, you're not what I want. Okay, now that being said, I want to do a special note that all this talk about a higher power, and another story too, at the last workshop I did, somebody had brought their 10-year-old daughter, and she put her hand up after the break and said, excuse me, can you tell me, like, all what does food have to do with God? And I thought, and we all went, it has a lot to do with God. It has a lot to do with God. So there's a lot of people here. I'm just sharing what's worked for me and my higher power. You don't have to have any of my higher power. You can leave that at, you know, here when you leave. The big book on page 46 says, much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. So again, your belief in a higher power is totally up to you. Take what you like and leave the rest. But let me review the handouts real quick. Can I steal just a copy? I didn't get a copy for me. So just to show you what you have, the first page was just a blank page for notes. And if any... Oh, yes, Tamri, please. Thanks, Karen. So just... And by the way, if anybody needs Spanish, does anyone need a Spanish copy? We have notes in Spanish as well. The second page is my drawing, but put into a table format. And the top part is, again, a place for you, if you wanted to fill in the blanks about... working backwards. So you work backwards on from the right back to the left to say, what is it, if you want food, for example, what is it that you want the food to give you, and why do you need that, and what are you going to get if you get that food, and ultimately what's the underlying need. And I have some tentative suggestions at the bottom of how to ask yourself questions, because I ask myself questions because I don't know the answer. I have to think about it. And then at the bottom is when you work forward to say an alternative way. Well, if God met that need, how would that work? So that's what that page is. I know it's really wordy, but it was my attempt to put that together. And then I have my little picture of my gas gauge to say, again, what is it that I need God to do? And there's that piece. The page 4 I will come back to in a couple minutes. Okay? Okay, so any questions so far? Any questions? We're doing good for time. Okay, so that's the message on recovery. Okay, now I would like to welcome you to my kitchen. And you can't hear the sound, but I'm saying, welcome to my kitchen. These are my little dogs. My little dogs are going to come and say hi. Shizhi and Kix. So what I'm saying is that this is where we're going to spend time. That's my kitchen. My husband's taking the pictures there. So, and the little dogs do get, at some point, some food falls on the floor, and the little dogs get that. Okay, so again, some of the comments I've heard in CHOW is, I eat the same vegetables all the time, it's really boring. I don't like vegetables, I don't like all the time it takes to prep vegetables, I don't know how to cook vegetables, and I want something that's simple, easy, and fast. Okay, so again, I'm going to show you what I do. Keep in mind, I am not a chef or a great cook. I strive for efficiency. I want to do it fast, with a minimal amount of work, and I'm not looking for gourmet stuff. Okay, I'm totally not a cook. But I also want to follow the rules, okay? And what are those rules? This book right here. That's my Bible, the Forever Abstinent, okay? If it's in there, I can do it. If it's not in there, I can't do it. Okay, so those are the ground rules. And again, key principle is the magic is in following directions. I don't think there's anything magic about our food plan. It's not, is it 4 ounces of chicken? Is it 2 ounces of cheese? It has nothing to do with the food plan. The beauty is in... following directions. And again, there are 3 main pillars in this program. There are the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 7 tools. The food plan is just one of 7 tools. So overall, the food's really a small part of recovery, but it's an important part, and like all, we want to work with that. And again, and see how we abstain from flour, sugar, alcohol, and quantity, and the magic is in following directions. Okay, one last word of caution. What this workshop will not do, it's not going to show you how to cook and prep every vegetable there is. It's not going to show you how to prepare food in the most, most delicious way possible. I've said this before, food is sexy enough as it is. I don't need to make it more sexy, okay? This is, I think, really true. And this actually happened in the last workshop. I'm actually going to do stuff. You're going to see me do stuff right here, and you're going to say, I'm not doing that. That's like not in a way that I can't do that. You're going to say, yuck, I'm not doing that. So you have the freedom to do that. So I'm going to be up here. I'm going to share with you exactly what I do, and feel free to say, I don't want to be like her. Take what you like and leave the rest. And again, key point. What you do in program is between you, your higher power, and your sponsor. Right? I'm not here preaching. I'm just honestly welcoming you to my kitchen to show you what I do. Okay, first step, planning all these vegetables. The key point is there are lots of choices, right? There's a grocery store, there's fresh vegetables, there's canned vegetables, there's frozen, there's organics, there's public markets. You know, this is actually, I'm from California, but I grew up in Vancouver, Canada. This is the public market in Vancouver, Granville Island. So that's there. So you can buy food. And I go to Stater's and Whole Foods and Sprouts and Trader Joe's. You can go anywhere, right? There's lots of choices. And the cool thing, if you look at the color and the texture, there's a lot of choice out there. So it's not just lettuce and carrots. There's lots of things to choose from. So that's one key point I want to get across. You've got lots of choices. And you could have fresh or canned or frozen vegetables. There's different colors, textures, flavors. They each contain different vitamins. There's different health benefits. So I can approach the vegetable section in a new way. Try new stuff. If there are unfamiliar vegetables to me, and I'll tell you, there were a lot, and there still are, get a book. I got a couple books. I got a book, this is not program approved literature. Okay, so this is just stuff. You can get it at the library. You can do whatever. Just go look on the online. I just got a book to say, what the heck is an artichoke, or what is a celery root, or all this stuff. I had no idea what it was, and I just learned about it. Well, what is it? How is it stored? How does it taste? How are you supposed to cook it? So I got a couple books. I looked at some cookbooks. Now, a lot of cookbooks out there are not See How Abstinent, although there is a See How Abstinent cookbook. There is. But in general, you know, a lot of the cookbooks that are out there, they're just talking about vegetables, right? So I have to look at it with a discerning eye to say, just because it's in a cookbook doesn't mean it's abstinent. Abstinence means weighed and measured and no flour, no sugar, all that kind of stuff, right? But again, if there's unfamiliar vegetables, get books and ask questions, please. Yeah, great idea. You just do research. So again, there's a lot of stuff I don't know. So that's one thing. If I don't know stuff, that's okay. Now, shopping. Now, when I go shopping, I plan several days in advance, and I made my own little shopping list in the order that my shopping store is organized. So I can go, this is where I get the vegetables, this is where I get whatever. So I just check off that I need one of these and two of those. So I plan for a couple days in advance. I decide if I want to go to more than one store, because I get favorites. I like the spinach here, but they've got great rutabaga, which is just crazy, but I do. I don't always do that. I usually go to the store two or three times a week. Now, when I store fresh vegetables, I keep them in the little plastic bags, and I have a little video for that. So, and again, you can't hear the sound, so I'll just voice over it. Those little plastic bags they give you are there, and I just store them like that, and they keep better in those little plastic bags. So I use that. Lots of stuff, because I may not cook them right away. Stuff it in there. Now, I don't put everything in the fridge. Some things, this is eggplant. Some things I store just on the countertop. So my husband's going to say, come over here. I put it there. There we go. And we're done. Okay, so that's how I store that. How long do fresh vegetables last? Well, it depends. Greens, for example, I found in a bag in a fridge, usually 1 to 2 days. Eggplant on the counter, a couple days. In the fridge, a couple more, like 3 to 4 days. Carrots in a bag in the fridge last for a couple weeks, a long time. Same with celery in a bag in the fridge. And again, I've looked up books online and on the internet in the library, how to select an individual, how do you know which vegetable is fresh? Because I don't know that. I wasn't born knowing that. I had friends tell me or whatever, so I do that. What's the best way to store it? How long you can store it for? So I do that. Now, cooking. Now, I'm going to show you a couple different vegetables. These are just some vegetables that I chose to cook. Again, this is not going to be everything. But I chose Brussels sprouts, which I love. I love Brussels sprouts. I never thought I would say that, but I do. Rutabaga, broccoli, yellow squash, eggplant, kale. One of my sisters said, I hate kale. I'm like, I love kale. Spinach, lettuce, and how I do it all at the same time. When I do the prep that you'll see me on the video, it usually takes about an hour to prep vegetables that will last for me for about 4 days. So that works really well. I try to show you how I prepare as much as I can in advance. Question? Yep. 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 And the comment, for those that didn't hear, we're talking about storing lettuce. Sometimes putting a paper towel in absorbs some of the moisture. And I have a lettuce spinner, too. I'll show you some of that. So, kind of cool stuff. Okay. So, Brussels sprouts. So, there's me. Now, this is how I do Brussels sprouts. I put about maybe a half an inch of water at the bottom of a pot. Right? Not a ton. My husband's really high-tech. And I put it on high. And I take just the bag of Brussels sprouts and I dump it in. You don't wash them, Roberta? No, I don't. That's one of those things you probably don't want to do, but I just put it in because and this is my rationale. They're going to get boiled. They'll sanitize it. So, right? So I just, now I set the timer. I set the timer for about 5 minutes. Now while that's in there, I'm going to start taking a rutabaga and I never knew what a rutabaga was. It's that thing right there. It's not a turnip. People get confused about turnips and rutabagas all the time. But I peel it's like you kind of peel it like a potato. And once it's all peeled, what I'm going to do is I'm going to dice it into kind of bite-sized pieces. And I'm going to stick it in the same pot as the Brussels sprouts because I also don't want to have multiple, I don't want to have a separate dish for everything I cook. I want to stick it in the same pot. So again, I'm going to dice it. I'll tell you right now, I did not cut my finger, so there's no blood that you will see in any of these. And again, I'm multitasking because the Brussels sprouts are cooking while I'm doing this. So I'm dicing this stuff up. Riveting stuff, I realize. Yeah, it has a flavor kind of like a little bit of a potato, a little bit of a carrot. They change color. They're light yellow when they're raw, but they turn kind of orange when they're cooked. Kind of interesting. And actually, I don't think I've turned the Brussels sprouts on. I think I'm going to put them on at the same time now that I think about it. There's my husband. You can see my husband's outline of his face right there, reflected in. So there goes the timer. I've got the timer set. When the timer's set, I guess I do have the Brussels sprouts on. I'm going to dump those in there. I had broccoli. I know. I think I got these out of order. But I'm going to put this in for another 5 minutes. The idea is it's a layered approach. I've got Brussels sprouts in there. I've got rutabaga. And I'm just putting the lid back on, and it's on high. And then when that timer's up, 4, 3, 2, 1... Then the next thing, I add the broccoli heads. So again, I think I got these a little bit out of order. Now another thing, I just take the broccoli heads out of the bag and I put them in. I don't cut it up. I'm going to cut it up later. And I put the lid on and I set the timer again another 4 or 5 minutes. You'll see in my handouts, I actually try to give you some of the times for these. That's that fourth page. Okay, so I show in there. I also do yellow squash too. I think in this particular example, I put yellow squash in. Now, I do wash yellow squash because I just do. I just do. Green squash works the same as well, but I like yellow. I like the color. That was a gift, Karen. Where did I get that scrubber? Whole Foods, Mother's, Sur La Table is a great place too. You don't see this, my little dogs are there at the floor waiting for something to drop on the floor. I did wash this one, yeah. Yeah, I know. Now the other thing too, I didn't talk about organics a lot. There's some people that buy only organic vegetables. That's fine if you want to do that. I typically don't do that. I just because they're expensive, but you have the freedom to do all that. So, okay. So again, I'm dicing up these yellow squash. The other thing I say this at the end too, look, Roberta. If it takes an hour, what are you doing while you're preparing vegetables? Sometimes I'm on the phone bridge, on mute, but I have my Bluetooth on and I'm listening to the phone bridge, and or I'll listen to music. Or I'll be doing my sponsee calls, which isn't always great because I have to put them on mute. I don't like to do that, but I try to multitask. Okay, now, I also add the yellow squash. This is probably for the last couple minutes. Put the lid back on. I'll set it for 5 minutes. So when I'm all done, all that stuff is going to be ready, and I think it's all done now. I call these parboiled vegetables. You could steam them, but I like the taste of parboil better, just a little bit of water at the bottom. When the timer goes off, I'm going to take that big pot, and I'm going to dump it all into a colander. And I'm going to let it cool. I'm just going to let it cool. Put it to the side. Oops, I dropped some in the sink. And I'm going to put it over there. Now, meanwhile, you kind of saw it to the side there. I had lettuce. I'm also making a salad. I also have, in addition to cooked vegetables, I have raw vegetables as well. I use different vegetables all the time. I rotate what I like, and some are in season and some are not. But for this video clip, I used, I took a carrot and I diced it. I took three celery stalks. I sliced that. I took a parsnip. A parsnip is like a carrot, but it's white. And it has kind of a nutty flavor. That was kind of a fun thing. I used that raw. I took a chopped English cucumber, half a diced red onion, and one tomato. All the amounts are approximate. I just, like, throw stuff in there. And when I'm done, there's a salad that looks like this. Okay, so that's all the raw vegetables. Right? And then I'm going to take some of the cooked vegetables, and this is where I'll trim the ends off the Brussels sprouts because they're kind of a little bit hard. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to dice it up. So these are cool. If they're not cool yet, I just put cold water on them, and I dice it into quarters or slices, and I stick it in there. And again, it's part of the salad that I'm going to, yep, put together. And the broccoli, too, the broccoli heads. This is when I cut it up. So I just cut the broccoli heads off, and I'll slice up the broccoli stalks as well. I like them kind of crunchy. I'll cut them in. And again, it's not super science. It's just kind of rough. Some people like it smaller. I throw it all in there. Again, I'm for efficiency, not so much beauty. And then I've got the yellow squash there, too. And again, I change the vegetables all the time. Oops, that goes, that's the Brussels sprout that went to the dog. Yep. They eat them all. I mean, they have no taste. So, and I just mix it all up. So that's the basic part of one of my salads. Okay, so that's that salad. Now, meanwhile, there's other stuff I'm doing. Eggplant. So I wash this one, too. Take the sticker off. Eggplant is kind of interesting, and I'm sure there are many ways to do this, but what I do is I'm going to get the sticker off, and I'll wash the skin of it, and then I'm going to dice that as well, and I'll show you how I dice it. They're having a lot of fun next door. Can you hear the laughter? Yeah, good stuff. That's a good question. I personally, the only seasoning I use is salt and pepper, but that's just because I'm just looking for efficiency. But there's plenty of opportunity to add whatever spices that you want. Spices are unlimited to do that. You also can cook with half a cup of like chicken broth and stuff. I don't do that, but you could. That's another way to do it too. Now again, the eggplant is, I'm kind of slicing them into long slices, and then I'm gonna dice it up. Not anything super. Now, when I put it in the pot, I think the pot I'm using happens to be a nonstick pot, I think. But if it, let me see, yeah, it's a nonstick pot. I have nothing in there, no oil or anything. I'm just sticking it in. If I had a nonstick pot, I would probably spray it with Pam a little bit. So again, I'm just going to cut that up roughly an inch thick. Now, notice it's kind of white and firm when it starts off. It's not going to look that way when it's done. And this is going to take about 25 minutes to cook, usually. It's on the stovetop. We'll do one more. I just like the texture. It's going to get all goopy at the end, and the skin actually holds its texture well. So I that's what I like. But you could peel it too. It's good fiber too. It's like the cucumber that I, you didn't see me cut up cucumber, but some people don't like the seasoning cucumber, you can take it out. And that's another thing, too. You can try stuff, and if you don't like it, don't do it again. You know, like some, I had said to some people, I love Brussels sprouts and red onions, and they tried it, and they said, I hated that. And I said, yeah, then don't do it. And I've also cooked things not long enough and cooked things too long. I think actually you're going to see in the, and I'm grateful you can't hear this, because in the next section where I start to cook it, I have it on too high for too long, and it starts to burn. And my husband, who I've said, don't say anything, he's like filming going, oh, did you just burn it? Shut up. Shut up. He goes, well, you didn't say to not say anything. So we'll see if you can hear that. I don't know if you can. But, so I've made all kinds of mistakes. And you know what? I've eaten worse things in my life. I can eat vegetables that aren't cooked perfectly. Okay, so I put a lid on it. Now, what I'm supposed to do is put it on high. I think I practiced. I put it on high for about 5 minutes and stir it. But I think I forgot in this particular case. So I set the timer. The overall timer I'm going to set to, like, I think I set this one to 20 minutes. I should have set it for 5. And that's it. Okay, so that's that. Now, I did the. Now, meanwhile, I'm doing other things, right? But I'm going to just show you all the eggplant back to back. So now it's been probably a good 7 or 8 minutes, and I go, oh, I better stir this. Oh, I forgot to put it down to medium. It's not burned, is it? He says. There's nothing in there. There's nothing in there. No water or anything. Now, it starts to get a little bit brown. I'm going to put the lid back on. I'm going to let it go for the next amount of time. And now, but I stir it every once in a while. And then near the end, you'll see it starts to get very different. It's very goopy is a really scientific word I'd use. It's very kind of goopy. Yes, it does. It creates its own moisture at the end. So that's pretty much the eggplant. Now I'm going to let it cool, and then I'm going to eventually, as you'll see, I actually have examples here of stuff I made earlier in the week. You can actually see, I'll show it to you at the end, of the eggplant when it's back in the, and I'm building like an assembly line. I've got my parboiled and raw vegetables, I've got my eggplant, and I think my next one, I think, is spinach. Now, spinach... you can buy bags, you can buy fresh spinach, but then you have to clean it. I usually get these bags of spinach. I usually get 2 of those bags. And I'm just going to cut them open and stick them in a big pot. And I'm going to put the lid on it. And I'm going to cook it for 6 minutes. There's no water. Oh, yeah, there is water. I'm sorry, I lied. There's about 1/2 ounce of water. Yeah. The people in the audience are laughing at me. Yeah, it's about 1/2 inch of water at the bottom of the pot. And I put the spinach in there. This is where I'm adding the water. Just a little bit. Put the lid back on. And 6 minutes is what I'm going to set it for on high. Now, you notice how big it is in the pot? It's going to get a lot smaller when I'm done. So 6 minutes, go. Okay. Now, when that's done, 6 minutes later, and we're about halfway through, you guys. Hanging in there okay? Good stuff. No. Yeah, these are a couple of days old. For sure you don't want to eat them. Okay, see, it's all reduced. It's like really small. 2 big bags make a really small cooked amount. I'm going to drain it. I'm going to just dump it all out and drain it. Now, this is where in the last session somebody said, you're pouring all the nutrients down the drain. Yes, I am. I am. And the reason I'm doing that is because I weigh and measure, like I weigh my vegetables, right? We're allowed 16 ounces for lunch and 24 ounces for dinner. I don't want to weigh water. I want as much vegetable as I want. So as you're going to see, I might be rinsing now. I'm going to be like squishing this like a sponge to get as much water as I can out because I want the vegetable. I don't want the water. Now, you know, you could save the water. You could have the water if you want, but vegetable juice counts too, right? And I would rather have, this is just me, I've had the vegetables. Okay, so this is where I start to, like, squish the spinach, get all the juice out. Spinach and kale both, they maintain a lot of water. So I'm, like, squishing it. I have not found a good way to do this other than that. I put 2 plates together. I've done a bunch of stuff. So I'm squishing it as much as I can, like a sponge. That's a good way, too. The only reason I don't do that, and somebody said you can wrap it in a dishcloth, is that then I have to clean the dishcloth. So I'm not trying to be funny. I'm honest. Yeah. Now, that was 2 bags of spinach, right? It's not very much. Now, what I'm going to do when I'm done, because you think, well, spinach, well, you could just, you know, take a piece off of it, but it's all interlaced with each other, so I'm going to dice it and chop it finely. And so get it all done. Now I'm going to dice it, and then I'm going to stick it, and then, you know, just like in kind of cubes, kind of. And then I will, when I want to serve it, I can just take the piece out and put it in my salad. So that's what I do with spinach. And spinach is one of my favorite vegetables. I really like the taste of it. And again, this is all, if you're thinking about this, if you're realizing now, these are all going to be cold, what I'm preparing. These are all going to be cold vegetables I'm doing for a salad. No, that's right. Woohoo! Spinach. Kale. Now, kale, this is one of my other sisters. She hates kale. Kale is the really curly vegetable that most people in the store, they use it for decoration purpose only because it's really tough. But what I do is I just rinse it out, because it's usually pretty clean, but I'll rinse it to get whatever salt or sediment out of it. It's, again, especially since the leaves are really curly, it might hold stuff that I don't want to eat. So what I do is I'm going to rinse it, and I'm going to put it back in that big pot that I just cooked the spinach in. I'm going to stick it in that big pot with a lid on it. And I'm going to put it in for, I'm going to put maybe a half an inch of water at the bottom. And I'll cook it for 10 minutes with the lid on. And I'll strain it as well, and I'll chop that up fine. And I'll put the spinach and the kale together in the same Tupperware. So just again, just to kind of give you a quick recap, I've got a really big Tupperware with all kinds of salad and broccoli stuff. I've got my little Tupperware of the spinach and the kale, which is what you're seeing now. And I also have the bowl of eggplants, right? So these are all a little separate. I've got 3 bowls so far. Here's the eggplant bowl. You can come up and look at it later. It looks really horrible, but it tastes good. And then I have lettuce, too. I will have cleaned lettuce. I think I do lettuce a little bit later. Yeah, kale tastes like greens. It's the greens. And what I like about it is it absorbs the flavor of whatever dressing I've put on my salad. It holds it really well. And you know what's interesting, too? This is a general comment. When I was not in recovery and I used to eat, you know, sugar and flour and alcohol, my body craved those things. I have since found that my body craves Brussels sprouts and kale. And I find myself going, I'd really like some kale right now. It's crazy, but it's the allergy. Okay, so let me show you, I think, the rest of the kale. Once the kale's done 10 minutes later, again, I'm going to drain it. It doesn't reduce as much. Now, some of the books I've seen about kale, they say, take the stalk off because it's too hard. I just keep it all together and I chop it up, and it's just a crunchy item in the salad. Again, I'm going to drain it. Cold water helps, or I can just let it sit there. Yeah, that's a good point. Someone was saying that you can actually buy prepared bags of greens, collard greens, country greens. I do that sometimes, and it's a really good taste. And they taste different. They all taste different. Again, I'm squishing it out. It's a little easier to squish it out of kale. But this as well, I'm going to chop into a little, you know, dice it and put it in with the spinach. Like that. Notice my cutting board is getting more dirty as I go along. And that's the other thing I like. If I'm doing it all at once, if I'm using a cutting board, I want to get it all done so it's all done, you know, not using multiple things. So that's the kale. So any hardness of the kale, when it's not cooked, it's kind of rough. It really goes away when you parboil it for 10 minutes. And it's a diced green. Yeah, an onion. Onion is another thing I've added in here sometimes. Yeah, absolutely, and lots of spices. Okay, so that's my Tupperware of that. other stuff I have is lettuce. We talked about lettuce a second ago. Oops, sorry. Let me see. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. Nope. Kale. Lettuce. There's different types of lettuce. There's certainly iceberg lettuce. You can also buy, if you wanted, iceberg lettuce. You know, these big bag, or actually, like prepared salad. That's an option for you. I tend to like green leaf lettuce, but there's the kind of the brown red leaf lettuce. That's tasty too. Romaine's a popular one, and they have different tastes. I don't think I ever realized lettuce tasted different until this program, but I did. And again, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to like rinse off to get the main silt off and stuff. Right in there. And then I'm going to stick it in a salad spinner, and that's pretty effective for me to get it dry. Now, in the whole scheme of things, I'm probably about half an hour into my prep for all this. So, again, I'm listening to music or I'm doing a phone bridge meeting or... And if you've never seen a salad spinner before, you're going to stick it in this kind of colander thing and then you're going to stick it in another bowl and spin the heck out of it. Now, because I was being filmed, what I'm supposed to do is when I'm done, I'm supposed to push this black button, which stops it, and I pushed the wrong button, and I couldn't figure out why I wasn't stopping. So I'm like, stop! Hindsight's always 20/20. I do it twice to get all the water out, and it really drains a lot of the water, and that's what I then put in my Tupperware, just as a source to get, but again, you can buy lettuce already prepped, so... And I go, that's where the black button is. Okay, so that's my lettuce, I think. Okay, and the next one is, okay, so the summary of what I showed you, can I steal one of the handouts just for a second? I'll steal this one. So on page 4 of the handout, I just tried to show you kind of in general each of the main bowls I have. Is it the large Tupperware? Is it small Tupperware or medium? Kind of what I keep in there and kind of roughly how I cook it and what the measurements are. There's no science. I'm not a cook. So, yes, please, a question? Yep. And I will show you. Yeah, the question is, what do I do next? Yeah, the thing is, when I do my program, as vegetables were allowed, again, 2 servings at lunch, 3 servings at dinner, a serving could be a cup of vegetables or it could be 8 ounces. I am a compulsive eater. I'm looking for volume. I want the most food that I can get. A cup of vegetables is a much smaller amount than 8 ounces of vegetables. So I'm always going for 8 ounces. So because of that, 16 ounces for lunch, 24 ounces for dinner. 16 ounces for lunch, 24 ounces for dinner. So all the stuff I prepped will usually last about 3 days, 3 to 4 days usually. He does, actually. He does. He had said to me a couple years ago, can you make me your salad, maybe with a couple more things in it. So what I do, and I make my salad, and I'll show you how I make mine, but I'm literally making his. He just gets extra stuff in his. Yeah, and it's not anything super, yep. I do. I'll talk about salad dressings in just a second. Yep, I absolutely will. Now, what I'm not addressing today, I'm not addressing roasted vegetables. Roasted vegetables, another secret I'm telling you, roasted vegetables, when you roast them, become sweet. I like sweet vegetables, so I do like them, but I just didn't talk about them today. But you can roast things, and they're easy. You stick them in the oven, and they come out, and they're tasty. So there's a whole world about that. There's also canned vegetables. I usually don't like canned vegetables, but canned pumpkin is an option. Canned pumpkin with some artificial sweetener is a very tasty thing. You can do grilled vegetables as well. You can also do baked onions, and I have a happy face here because... I decided that, like a baked potato, you put tin foil around it and you stick it in the oven and it comes out cooked? Well, why can't I do that with an onion? I don't want to have to peel an onion. So I didn't peel the onion and I put it in tin foil and I put it in the oven and let it cook with chicken. So it cooked like 2.5 hours. And when I put it out on the counter, I'm like, hey, this is done. This is great. Well, some of the juice fell out and stained the counter. So there's a downside sometimes to doing things. So, yeah. Okay, now, another point about, that's all, oh, question, yep. Yeah, I did. There is some juice. It has. So the question was about how exactly did I cook the onion. So again, I've taken an onion. I didn't peel it. I wrapped tin foil around it. It was one of those sweet onions because it says sweet. Just a regular any onion will do. You put it in the oven for 350. I put it with chicken for 2.5 hours. When it came out, it has a lot of juice in the bottom of it. But you can like really easily peel the skin off, and the onion is very translucent and nice, and it's good chopped up in a salad. Okay, now another point, that's pretty much all the main food stuff, but I want to tell you about the other stuff around this, which is the tools. I make sure I've got some really good pots. I've got cutting knives and cutting boards, several. I've got my scale and my measuring cup and my spoon. So those are some of the tools I use for cooking, and I have even more tools. I have a lot of Tupperware. So this is my cabinet with lots of Tupperware because I want to be able to store stuff. Okay, so that's my welcome to my kitchen. Let's see, the next one is, oh, but there's even more tools, which is all that stuff I put in the sink is like there. Now, my husband doesn't do this. He takes it out of the sink and puts it in the trash. I've got a garbage disposal. I upgrade it to the, whatever the big garbage disposal is, and I just stick it all down. Now, my husband was like, don't get your hand in there. But I haven't been hurt since, so, yet. So, and it goes pretty fast. So again, things like garbage disposals are helpful because it takes all that stuff and makes it go away. Super stuff. Okay. And then cleaning up. At the end of this, I'm going to have a lot of pots to clean up, right? I've got the big pot that I use for the spinach and stuff. I've got the little pot for the eggplant. I've got my salad spinner, my drainer, my cutting board. There's a lot of stuff to clean up, but that's part of the process. That's part of the deal. And again, one of the things I think I say is, what's my philosophy regarding vegetable prep and cleanup? Yes, it takes a lot of time. There's no way around it. It does. But the things I do while prepping or cleaning up is I relax. I try to practice breathing and relaxing. I listen to favorite music. I might listen to a phone bridge. I might make an outreach call. I certainly pray. And I keep in mind, if I wasn't prepping vegetables, what would I be doing? And what the heck would that give me? And is that going to meet my needs, or am I going to let God meet my needs? Right. So it's a philosophy. It's a philosophy about prepping vegetables. Now, serving. This is answer's question. How do I make this work? Assuming I've prepped all the stuff ahead of time, it usually takes me 5 minutes to make my dinner. Okay. So here we go. Oops. Oh shoot. I think I have to prep. Hold on. Okay, so what I'm doing is it's dinner time. So I go into the fridge and I get out my vegetable Tupperware dishes. There's 3 or 4. Now at this point, I'm looking for the eggplant, and I can't remember where I put it. I put it in the freezer to make it cool really quick, and I couldn't find it. So there's no eggplant in this particular demo, but I get my bowl. Now I'm not using any super fancy bowls because I need there's a lot of quantity I'm going to be making, so I just use a big Tupperware bowl. Again, you don't have to do this. You can have really nice bowls, but I don't. I've got my dog. I put my Tupperware onto the scale. I set it to 0, and then I start to just pile it in. Again, I'll take the big, what did I start with? I think I took the big, what did I start with? No, lettuce. I started with the lettuce, put a handful of lettuce in. Then I've got the greens that I put in there. I would also have added the eggplant if I could have found it, but I didn't find it. And then there's the big bowl of the broccoli and the rutabaga and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just pouring it in until it says, I don't remember if this is lunch or dinner, but whatever it says when I get like to 16 ounces. And if it's too much, I'll take some away. No, this is dinner because it's 1.5 pounds. Right, 1.8.2, not too much. Take some away. Put some back in. Yeah, it's a big deal for me. Now then, I need to add protein. Now in this particular case, I had some pre-cut up chicken that I used, but you could do any kind of, obviously, protein you like. Now at this point, I'm like, shoot, I don't have 4 ounces of protein in there. So so I've got to scramble. I don't know why. I waited before, but I must have screwed up. So I went, and I'm looking to get my chicken bowl. I'm going to put a little more chicken. And I'm not getting it fast enough. Gigi's like, where's the food? And we get to 4 ounces. And then I add my dressing. I'll take the question just a quick second. Now I'm going to do 2 tablespoons of dressing, which is the dressing what I use for my fats. I'm on maintenance. Oops, I dropped some. I'm going to live with that. That may not be something that's okay with you, but that's okay for me. So it's 2 tablespoons, and that was all of, I don't think John showed the clock, but I think that was all of maybe 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes. And there was a question, I think. Yep. Yep. Yeah, the question was, do I commit specific vegetables? For me personally, I do. I say I'm going to have 16 ounces of vegetables or 24 ounces of vegetables because in the forever abstinent, I can equate things. But I have sponsees that tell me specifically, I'm going to have 16 ounces of spinach and blah, 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 that kind of stuff. Okay. Let me go back to the question of salad dressings. The rule for salad dressings is I just go with the forever abstinent, which, again, so long as sugar's fifth or lower on the list, that's fine. I have a favorite. I like Newman's Own 3-cheese balsamic. Sometimes I do oil and vinegar, that kind of stuff. Now, preparing servings, I usually make my dinner and lunch for the next day at the same time, but sometimes I make several things in advance, dinner tonight plus lunch and dinner tomorrow and lunch and dinner, and I'll put them in Tupperware, and I'll label it Tuesday lunch, Wednesday lunch, and I'll add it all together. That's just what I do. Traveling. Now, this is now the next phase of vegetables. When I travel to other people's houses for parties, sometimes I will bring my own food because I can't trust them to have what I need. I don't have children, but if I had kids, if you've ever had kids, when you had a baby, you didn't expect there to be baby food at the place where you're going. You have to bring it with you, so that's what I do with me. And sometimes I'll bring a big bowl of vegetables and I'll share with others. And every time I've done that, I've had people go, look at these great vegetables. This is wonderful. They like that. But I weigh and measure even when I'm there, because I'm willing to do that. I could take my chances and just show up hoping they have what I need, but I never do that. Flying. Okay, now here's an actual, let me show you how I do something. I travel from my work. I fly all the time. And what I do, I prep my stuff the morning before, the day before. So I will take a big plastic baggie, and I will take my scale, so I'm just going to have to kind of demonstrate. I'll put my scale, put a bowl on here, set it to zero, and then I will measure out my 16 ounces of vegetables, my 4 ounces of protein, my 2 tablespoons of dressing. Again, I'm on maintenance. And when it's done, I will stick that, I will pour that bowl into this baggie, a large quart Ziploc baggie, right? And I'll squish all the air out of it, and I'll roll it up, and I'll put it along with a plastic spoon and a napkin in this plastic bag. This is high tech. There's a reason I'm doing this. Okay. Now I get on the plane, and it's lunchtime, and of course, people are not eating or eating, as the case may be. And I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to go into my briefcase, and I'm going to take out my food in my bag. Now I have on occasion taken Tupperware with me on a plane, but when I sit down and I open it, I always get comments. That's a lot of food. You're going to eat all that? Man, you're eating healthy. So I can endure that, but the truth is I don't want to endure it. So what I do, let me go back to my little baggie here, my little baggie. No one knows what's in here, and no one can see the quantity. I'm the only one that knows. So when I sit down, I open up that baggie inside the larger bag, right? And I have my spoon, and it's all hidden, right? It's just in my lap, and I just eat. No one knows how much it is. No one really cares how long it takes. They don't see it. I'm the only one that sees it. That's worked well for me. That's been effective. In terms of keeping vegetables, vegetables have lived outside all of their lives. They can live outside for a couple hours. So, you're allowed to bring food. You are. You can't bring liquid. You can't have, for example, my salad dressing, they would confiscate my salad dressing. But if I put it on a salad, they've never stopped it. And I got 2 tablespoons. Question? The 3-ounce containers is also, it has to be 3 ounces or less. Okay, any question? Oh, if you put like large Tupperware. There's a story that, and one of my sister actually brought it up last night. I had had a half a cup of pumpkin in a Tupperware thing, and when I went through security at Dulles, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. They confiscated it, and it pissed me off that they confiscated my pumpkin, and I was so annoyed that I walked off and I left my laptop, and I didn't realize it until I was on the flight. Oh, why is my bag so light? Oh, my God, I left my laptop. Excuse me, stewardess? I left my laptop at the airport. Well, you're just going to have to, you know, call when you get there. Oh. So I called. It cost me $200. I had to get a courier to go to pick it up and send it. So all because of pumpkins. Okay? Yes, in question. Yep. No, I'm not. I'm not heat. For me, for what I do, these are all. It's a cold salad. Cold, so to speak. But I would make the point, I actually prefer room temperature. So I don't, when I'm traveling, I actually prefer room temperature vegetables. I think they taste better. So a couple other things just real quick. Driving tips. Now, when I'm driving somewhere, I bring my stuff with me, or I stop at grocery stores along the way. Again, I mentioned you can buy prepackaged vegetables that are weighed and measured if you had, so I do that sometimes. And I also stay at hotels that have full kitchens. There's places like Homewood Suites or Chase Suites that have full kitchens. They're usually less expensive than even places like this, and they have a full kitchen. And I find that works really well. When I get there, I get a car, I go to the grocery store, I buy my stuff, I cook it just like I'm at home. Yeah, question? And I can get a fridge and a microwave at most hotels, that's correct. Although I have to say that, like, the one that we have here, if you're staying here, it's kind of small, but it works. Restaurants. Now, just me personally, I am weigh and measure even when I'm out with clients. I'm in the financial services industry. I'm out with the chief credit officer of many large organizations, and I weigh and measure. It's usually not my clients that have an issue. It's usually my coworkers. What are you doing? I'm weighing and measuring because I'm maintaining a 70-pound weight loss, and this is what I do. And most people go, wow, that's great. That's a lot of discipline. You have a lot of willpower. Yeah, sometimes I do bring extra vegetables with me to restaurants. Sometimes I do. And I endure comments. Yes, it happens. I was actually out for dinner with some dear friends, and I had brought some vegetables with me, but I hadn't made my friends or my husband make aware of that. So I was going to order just a regular salad rather than, I'll have two salads, please. I was just going to order, because I already had vegetables with me. So I started to order. I said, what kind of vegetables do you have? And my friends said, oh, she's going to order a lot of vegetables. She's going to need, 20 ounces of vegetables, which was wrong, but nonetheless, and they're going on and on, and the waiter's like, wow, I'm thinking, shut up, so I'm trying to be calm, saying, can I have this salad, please, with no dressing and no croutons and no cheese, and blah, blah. Well, at the end of that, the waiter says, okay, and goes to the person I'm with and says, well, yours is going to probably be a lot easier than hers, and all my friends and my husband laugh, oh, isn't that funny, and I'm like, this was, it was, as we left, I said to my husband as we walked out, I didn't look at him, I said, would you do anything differently if you could do that again? He didn't look at me, and he said, the way you asked that makes me think that you think I should have done something differently. But no, I would have done the same. I said, okay. Question. I do. Yeah, the question is, do I bring my own dressing? I do. I brought it here. So again, back to my little toolkit, my little knapsack in here. With my weight and measured stuff is my dressing. Question over there. That's my sister. So, and they run out to go. Yep. Again, all of this is a great opportunity to rely on God, because it's really God looking after me. One more question, then I'll move on, please. Yep. The question is, when I go to a restaurant and I bring vegetables, I put them in a baggie. And I typically have things I can't get at a restaurant. Lettuce takes up a lot of space, and I can get it at the restaurant. But I usually can't get spinach and kale and Brussels sprouts. So that's typically what I'll bring, things I can't get there. A couple of things. Again, other resources. Again, there's the See How Cookbook. There's other See How members that you can talk to. Martine on the phone bridge, if you ever talk with her, she has her email there with recipes. Library, the Internet's great. And then, again, the main Bible that I have is the Forever Abstinent booklet that keeps me knowing what I'm following. So in closing, here we are, and there'll be time for questions at the end. Again, this is not a diet club. It's not about the food. This is a spiritual program of recovery. It's about me connecting with God. The food's calling me because I need to go to God. What you do is between your sponsor and your higher power. Again, take what you like and leave the rest. So we have about 15 minutes left for comments or questions. Oh, there's I see Tamara in the back. Tamara? So lunch at 12 will be at the south end by the pool. Thank you. Yep. Good. And Nikki had a question too. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm happy to do it. Other questions? Yep, the update is that the cookbook is at the literature table. I got mine about 2 years ago. I don't know how old it is. Bear with me just for a second while I get back. Yeah, I'll give you the Mama Martins. Yeah, let me get this up here on the screen. The question is, you don't need to take any vitamins if you have this many vegetables. Yeah, that's probably a doctor question. Probably a doctor question. Other questions? Please, Judy. Thank you, my friend. Thanks. Thank you, Judy. Thank you very much. Other comments or questions, please? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a great question. The question there is when you get comments, you're going to get questions all the time. One time I remember and let me switch from vegetables to fruit. When it says that we're allowed a fruit, like an apple, it doesn't say the size of the apple. Now, again, some sponsors say it should be a medium apple, but my literature doesn't say it. And so there have been times I've had the biggest darn apple I could get, right? Well, one time I brought it on a plane, and as I was sitting there eating while somebody walked by, this man said, "That is the biggest apple I've ever seen in my life. Look at that apple." There was like three people. "Oh, it's a big apple." I was so embarrassed, right? So that does have people make comments, it just falls out of their mouth. Now, how I've handled that is to say, "God, they have every right to say and feel and think whatever they want. Would you please be my defender? Would you please protect me? Because I need you to look after me." So it's again, food's there for to point me to God, I have found. Any question behind? Yeah, and somebody's saying they use that opportunity to share the program with people. Yeah, and this. Yeah, please, Jen. That's good. And absent, somebody was saying they get people asking them about the. Oh, that smells really good. But there's also a downside of that too. I've also been in a situation where just I think 2 weeks ago I was on a plane. And again, the dressing I have isn't super smelly. And I also, when I travel, I don't have like pungent protein, like tuna or salmon is not something I did it once and that was enough to say, because everyone's like, "What is that smell?" But I had my abstinent lunch, and I had this 14-year-old, she was supposed to be a 14-year-old girl next to me. And from the time I opened my lunch, she was like, "Oh, oh." She had the blanket over her head. She was wiggling her foot, right? And I did, you know, and I couldn't, you can't eat these things fast, right? It takes a while to eat them. So I'm like, well, I'm going to eat it. And the whole time I'm like, she has every right to feel what she feels and think what she thinks and say what she says. God, please be my defender. Please be eating some more. She's wiggling. She's moving. I'm hating her. She's hating me. No words are said, but I'm like, let it go. Let it go. Don't be anxious. So I just endured it. I don't know her name. I don't know where she is. So I try to be sensitive to people around me, but, you know, it is what it is. Cameron, did you have another question? Yeah, just so again, if you have spoken, please make sure you sign. I'll try to repeat the question, too. Yep. Yep, but it's possible to eat abstinently when you have kids. And that's what, and I'll put Martine's email back up at the end. And that's what Martine had said to me. Martine? Oh, not quite yet. Okay. What Martine had said to me was, you know, there's a lot of recipes that are for one person, right? And that's, real life has lots of people in it. So, any other questions? Yep, please. Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, that's a great question, is that when I go to a restaurant and I bring my own vegetables, I pay as if, and I tip as if I never show up at a restaurant and only have my own vegetables. I always order something while I'm there, and I tip as if it was the full meal. And usually I'm with my husband, who's eating a regular meal as well, so they're making money. And actually, that's the other thing. When I travel, I go to restaurants all the time. To get abstinent vegetables, oh, man, I've got to get 5 plates of vegetables, right? And I say to them ahead of time, I'd like to order, the side of vegetables, how big is that? Oh, it's really big. Okay, well, how big is that? That's really big. I get it. I swear, it's the size of like half of my hand, right? Can I get 2 of those? Can I get 4 of those, right? No oil, no water, whatever, right? And it's a dance I play. 90%, 95% of the time, I don't get what I want, but I'm used to it. I'm just used to the comments, and I go, yep, it's worth it to be at my abstinent weight and to know, and to realize it's not me that's in control. I'm powerless over my food. I'm powerless over them. I just got to trust in God. Question? Yep. The question is, when I do make my tuna salad, what do I put in it? And the honest answer is, I actually don't make tuna salad because I don't have the oil to put in it, so I just avoid that altogether. I will have plain salmon, just plain salmon with my salad dressing on a salad if I'm eating that at home. And there's one question back here. Do I ever use V8 juice? I have on occasion, but I don't like it. And so it comes down to, it's kind of like, if I'm going to go to all this effort, I want something I like. I get really choosy about stuff. Yep. Do I cook a separate meal for my husband? Yeah, my husband's meal, actually, for me, I'm just blessed because he eats what I have, but he has non-abstinent food in it. He has olives and cheese and a couple other things, and that's what he eats. And he's 6'1 and 170, I think, so he's slender. He doesn't have an eating disorder. It's kind of wild. But the cool thing is we can go into ice cream places, and he can have stuff, and because I'm following this food plan, it doesn't call to me anymore. It doesn't call to me. I'm usually thinking about my Brussels sprouts and my rutabaga. Any other questions? Please. Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, the question is, can we do other things? Yeah, I'm going to have a whole series out on it. You know, I have thought about doing this on the phone bridge. Like, for example, because I'm on the phone bridge all the time because I travel so much. At work, I do webcasts where I invite clients. Come to this webcast. You come to this website, and you can actually see things. So I'm thinking, because this is going to get old really fast. People are going to say, I've seen those Brussels sprouts. I've seen that dog eat that Brussels sprout so many times that I need to probably do other stuff. So I may do roasted vegetables. Yes, yeah, I could post that. Yeah. Now, here's the deal, though. Yeah, YouTube. There's an aspect of anonymity. And to be honest with you, I'm a little bit worried even about this, because this will be taped and put out on the website. So there's an aspect of anonymity there. So, you know. In the microwave. Yeah, that's an option too. Yeah, a steamer. One key point that I never realized is regular Tupperware is not to be put in the microwave because it melts. and it ends up in the food. I never knew that. I'm like, how did I not? So there's Tupperware you can get that is microwavable, but yeah, you just need to be knowledgeable about it. You guys have been very kind. You are free to take the rest of the day off.